Blog Talk Radio.
Get your house in order. Get your house in order.
Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. It is November the 1st, 2022, and you're listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person service. you can come and be a part of the services of First Baptist. Our service starts each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You can come. Of course, we are asking that you wear face covering. We do practice social distancing, and we do ask that we take your temperature at the door. We want to do everything that we possibly can to make sure that people are safe in the house of God. But you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist. You'll find the Sunday morning service there. We go live every Sunday morning on Facebook at 10 a.m. We go live every Sunday morning on Facebook. You can see the Sunday morning service of First Baptist. Also on the Facebook page, you'll find the link for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. You'll also find the call-in number. If you would like to call in and be a part of the Bible study, if you want to participate in the Bible study, if not, you just simply want to listen to the Bible study, you can click on that link and it will take you directly to that Bible study, and you can hear the recorded Bible study as it goes on. Also, on the Facebook page, you'll find information about the Wake Baptist Association and the Joint Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. So we have a lot of things on the Facebook page. We invite you to go there. Tell somebody about First Baptist of Holly Springs. Let them know that we are on Facebook so that they can see and be a part of the First Baptist community. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go into our Bible study tonight, that you will steady our hearts and steady our minds, that we may have clarity. Father, we know that there are times in our lives we don't dot every I, we don't cross every T, but you are a forgiving God. You look beyond our faults just to give us our needs, and for that we just want to thank you. We thank you, God. We ask that you will bless those who are in the hospital, those who are on the sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are locked behind prison bars, that you will go walk the halls of the hospitals and stop if you don't stay long. Just let everyone know that they're going to be all right. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We ask, God, that you will bless First Baptist of Holly Springs, every congregational member, every officer, every preacher, every deacon, every trustee. We ask, God, that you be with us as we continue to serve you. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are taking some time away from our scriptorial Bible study tonight to do a topical discussion. This is the last one of the year. We have done topical discussions throughout the year. I think it's very important that we take the time to do that. And the reason for that is I read an article, I guess, about a year or so ago that said that, you know, African-Americans in particular, African-Americans in the church, we tend to keep our heads in the Bible so much that we don't see anything else that's going on around us. And an uninformed group of people can be led anywhere. When we don't know what's going on in the world, then we are left out of the loop. And 9 times out of 10, because we are left out, we don't get the same responses that those who stay in charge or stay abreast to things that are going on. You hear it all the time, folk in the Church of Hollywood, I didn't know that was happening. I didn't know that was going on. Well, the reason why you don't know is because you don't look or find out. And many people, particularly in the African-American church, all they know is Jesus. And that's a good thing. But there are other things in the world that you need to deal with because we haven't gotten there yet. We haven't gotten to glory yet. As long as we're still on this earth, there are more things that we need to know, more things we need to understand, more things we need to be a part of so that we can be effective for the cause of Christ. If we're going to be effective for the cause of Christ, then we have to stay abreast things that are going on in our church, in our community, in our state, in our city, in our country, and even in the world. We have to stay abreast to all of these things so that we can effectively do the job that Christ has asked us to do in the world. And so we take this time off ever so often. I think this is the fourth or the fifth one this year that we will have a topical discussion. And so tonight we wanted to do that. I have several topics. You know how we do this. I have several topics that I bring to the forefront. And then after I introduce those topics, I ask you to expound on them or give me your idea as to what is going on with these topics. So I have about three or four topics tonight, and we're going to talk about those topics. I'm going to introduce those topics, and then we're going to talk about. Now, of course, you're not obligated to speak. If you don't want to speak on the radio, that's fine. I understand that. A lot of people are shy. They don't want to speak on the radio. But if you don't want to speak, just simply say, I'm listening, and then I'll go to the next caller. And that way I won't spend a lot of time trying to get someone on the line who is not or who does not want to speak. Okay. The big elephant in the room is the vote. Of course, next week we are be voting in the midterm election. More than 1.1 million North Carolinians have already voted in the 2022 general election. The largest group of North Carolinians voted at those registered as unaffiliated. Many are less interested in early voting, and some are waiting until the day of voting, Democrats and Republicans. More than a week into the one-stop early voting, Democrats lead the turnout for ballots, followed by Republicans, and also unaffiliated voters in the third. So we have a civic duty coming up next Tuesday. We're going to be voting for some very powerful offices. We're going to be voting for senators and congressmen. We're going to be voting for judges and sheriffs, district attorneys. People who are going to affect your life directly. And many of us do not vote in the midterm election. If it's not a presidential cycle, we don't want to vote because we don't think it's important. But it's important for us to understand that the midterm is more important than the presidential, because even though the presidential election is important, it's the midterm that decides on the people that will be governing you in your city, in your state. We're going to be voting for folk who are going to govern North Carolina. Now, I am concerned about the United States, but I'm more concerned about North Carolina. And so this is why midterm elections are important. The two most recent presidential elections in North Carolina were both decided by less than 4% of the vote. In 2020 election, the incumbent President Donald Trump won the state, this state, North Carolina, over President Biden, 49% to 48%. In the 2016 election, Trump carried North Carolina for 49.8% of the vote. Hillary Clinton carried 46.2%. At the start of the 2020 election cycle, Inside elections officials rate the state's battleground as a Republican battleground. We're hoping to change that this year. It is important that we get out and vote. Not only that, it's important that we tell others to get out and vote. This election cycle is going to be very crucial, and we have to make sure that we are participating in that election cycle. The stake of our children are involved. The stake of our homes, jobs, are all involved. And we must make sure that we do our civic duty, get out here and vote, and make sure we let others know the importance of voting. That's a very important job for us to do next Tuesday. That's one subject that I want you to talk about. I want you to expound on. Then there's another subject. Let me just say this. The outcome of this race will affect the partisan balance of the United States Senate. That's another thing. The outcome of this race will affect the partisan balance of the United States Senate. 35 of 100 seats are up for election, including the one special election. 7 Democrats have an effective majority, with the chamber split 50 to 50, and the Vice President Kamala Harris having the tie votes. But we must make sure that we go beyond 50% If we're going to get anything done in the United States Senate, we got to make sure that we have proper representation going into this 2020 election. All right. The second thing I want to bring up is this. We've talked about this on most of all of our topical discussions. But here's one that comes from the News and Observer just day before yesterday. At a high school football game in North Carolina, the game was suspended after shots were fired during a fight among spectators, authorities said. This happened in Duplin County. The Duplin County Sheriff's Office said officers cleared the stands after the incident, which happened Friday night during a game between Wallace Rose Hill and James Keenan High School at Legion Stadium in Wallace, North Carolina, located in the southeastern North Carolina, part of North Carolina. Luckily, no injuries were reported. The News and Observer reports that one person suspected of fighting was taken into custody, but no one has been arrested for firing the shots. This is very important because we find ourselves in a situation where we've talked about gun violence before, and we've even talked about gun violence in schools. But now it seems that if our children can't even have a football game, we can't even send our children out to enjoy themselves because of the fact that guns are so prevalent in our society. We've talked about this on every topical discussion that we've had. We've talked about gun violence, and we talked about the dangers of gun violence and what it has done to our society. There are people who don't even go out. At least I'm one of the people. I don't even go out late at night. I don't like to go out at night because we don't never know what's going to go on. And even that, look at the children. We're talking about children having a football game. This is in the daytime. And the people in the stands are fighting one another, shooting at one another. That's ridiculous. We got to do better, beloved. We got to have a better understanding of who we are. And we can't just allow our society to go down like that. We have to deal with that. That's something that we're going to have to talk about and keep talking about it. Because if we don't, then it will keep happening. It's going to happen. But we got to at least start talking about it. Educate your children about it. Let them know the warning signs of when things are about to happen. When they see people congregating in large crowds and arguments break out, that's the time to leave because nothing good is going to come of that. Nothing good is going to come of that. Back in the day, there were at least 3 days that I didn't even go out. And that was Halloween, New Year's, and the 4th of July. Those are days that you really just don't go out because there's always something going on. People are in their spirits, if you know what I mean, and people are feeling some kind of way, and there's always going to be some argument. There's always going to be somebody that gets upset at what somebody else says or what somebody else does, and of course, you know, once a gun comes out, it doesn't matter who the bullet hits. You could be aiming at John and hit Paul. We have to keep our children abreast to what's going on. That's another subject we can talk about. Also, here's one that really struck with me. In High Point, North Carolina, investigators seized 38 grams of heroin, 68 grams of crack cocaine, and 29 subione patches. I don't know how to pronounce that. SUBOXONE patches. Also, a loaded AR-15 rifle, a shotgun with more than 2,500 rounds, cash, and a handgun. These were found in the home of two felons. One had already been arrested for a Schedule I controlled substance possession with intent to sell and deliver. The other one now has been charged with a Schedule II controlled substance, maintaining a dwelling for drug activity, possession of drug paraphernalia, possession of a firearm by a felon, and these two, according to police, are in custody now. Now, this is a woman and a man, and the man, listen to this, the man has been arrested six times since 2018. Six times since 2018. Here's my question. When is enough enough? How many times does a person have to get arrested before they lock them up for good or for a while? Here's a person who has been arrested 6 times since 2018, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. That's 5 years, 6 times in 5 years for drugs and for guns. And this guy is still on the street? That's ridiculous. Something is wrong here. This is why we need to vote for the right judges, the right prosecutors, so that we can get people like this off the street. There's no reason why these two people are already felons. Both of them have felonies. Both of them have already been arrested for felonies. And here they are just arrested again last Friday for the very same thing. How many times is that going to happen? When is enough enough? We need to talk about that. We need to talk about how our judicial system is treating us. Something is wrong here. There's no way that somebody can be arrested 6 times since 2018 and they're still on the street selling drugs or having a dwelling near a school selling drugs. Something is wrong with that. Something is wrong. All right, that's another subject we can talk about. Here's another one. Paul Pelosi, the husband of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, was violently assaulted with a hammer by a man who broke into the couple's San Francisco home early Friday morning, local police say. The assailant was searching for the House Speaker, shouting, "Where is Nancy? Where is Nancy?" before assaulting 82-year-old Paul Pelosi. A source brief on the attack told CNBC that Nancy Pelosi was not in San Francisco at the time. The attacker, identified as 42-year-old David DePapi, is being charged with attempted homicide, assault with a deadly weapon, elder abuse, and other additional felonies. San Francisco Police Chief William Scott said at a news conference later Friday that both men were taken to the hospital for treatment. Scott said, adding that police were still investigating DePapi's motive. He was booked Friday afternoon in San Francisco County Jail. In a press conference Friday evening, Scott said, "This was not a random attack. This was intentional, and it was wrong." He added, "Our elected officials are here to do the business of their cities, their counties, and their states, and this nation. Their families don't sign up for this, to be armed and to be harmed like this." Paul Pelosi underwent a successful surgery to repair skull fractures and serious injuries to his right arm and hands. Pelosi spokesman Drew Hamill said in a statement late Friday, his doctors expect a full recovery from Mr. Pelosi. What is going on here with that? What is happening here with our people with this thing as far as where's the civility? Where's the civility? Have we gotten to the point now that we're going to break into 82-year-old people's homes and beat them with hammers simply because we don't agree with their politics? This man went to Nancy Pelosi's house with the intent on hurting her or killing her. We don't know what the intent was. He had a hammer. He had duct tape. He had rope. He had all the things that you needed to kidnap someone or to hurt someone or to put someone through serious bodily injury. This has happened since the January 6th situation. You remember January 6th when the Capitol was assaulted by those who were saying that the election was stolen. And so this has been going on ever since then. There have been numerous threats on our political leaders because of their politics. And let's be fair, all this is coming from the Republican Party. That's where it's coming from. I'm not trying to be biased here, but I'm telling you the truth. It's all coming from the Republican Party. This is all coming from them. They are the ones that are doing this. They are the ones that are spreading this hate speech and causing folk to be all ramped up. And now they go on social media and they come up with all kind of what you call conspiracy theories, and all kind of crazy things. And people who have weak minds, they buy into that stuff. They buy into the rhetoric that these people are spouting. And it causes them to go out and commit crimes like this. We're in a bad situation when 82-year-old people can be assaulted in their own homes. These are things that just don't happen in a normal society. These are things that we just can't continue to let happen. And not it could, yes, it was Nancy Pelosi's house that day. It could be your house tomorrow. Suppose your mother or your father spoke out about something that someone did not like. Would you want somebody, of course you didn't, of course you wouldn't, but how would you feel if somebody broke into their home with a hammer and tried to attack them simply because of their idea or their ideology about politics? It's just crazy. We need to talk about that as well. Also, on yesterday, United States Supreme Court heard arguments over racial equity in the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. A lot of the judges are making their decisions now as to what they would like to do. What they're trying to do is to stop the affirmative action programs in these schools, which makes it possible for students of color and to go to those schools. Many times these schools select their students by the race. Of course, we know they shouldn't do that, but they do. Many employers select the employees by race. They shouldn't do that, but of course, we know they do. So this particular case, there's one for Harvard University as well as the one for North Carolina, University of North Carolina. Now, what this will do is, if these things don't pass and those universities are able to drop their affirmative action policies, that can go from school to jobs to industry to companies to everything. So we have to really be careful and be aware of what's going on in that area as far as the Supreme Court is concerned. One of the most disconcerting things that I heard was last night. I was listening to the news, and I heard Justice Clarence Thomas say that he don't even know what diversity means. Now, if he doesn't know what diversity means, then we're in bad shape. I think that those are some of the things that we need to talk about, because we are staring down the barrel of a real bad situation when it comes down to equality and picking people for jobs and positions. You want to send your child to UNC. You want to send your child to graduated high school, got good grades. You want to send them to UNC. Do you want somebody to look at, you know, to choose your child because of their color? To look at them and say, well, no, we got enough black folk. We'll pass this one up. Do you want that? That is some of the things that have been going on in the system for years. One of the things that brought that out was the Rooney Rule in the football arena. There's a law that states that when a professional football team is looking for a coach, the Rooney Rule states that they have to interview at least one person of color during that process. And what is happening is they will interview one, but that one will not get the job. They'll interview that one so that they can say they have followed the Rooney Rule, but that one will not get that job. And so there have been others, white coaches, who have gotten positions who had no experience when there were black coaches who were assistant coaches of professional teams who have the background and experience who do not get the job. So that's another thing that we need to talk about as well. How is that going to affect us as a people, as a nation, as a city, as a state? How are we going to deal with that? And then there's another subject. I got one or two more, and I'm going to let you go. There's another subject here that I wanted to bring to the forefront. I hope I can pull it up. I'm on my computer today, so I hope I can pull this up. There is another subject that I'd like to bring to your attention. There is a discussion on, does God allow suffering? That was in Christianity Today on their website. Does God allow suffering? Or does God agree with suffering? And then we go through a lot of the scriptures that talk about suffering, the suffering that Paul did, the suffering that that Christians have to go through. For the Bible tells us that Jesus even said those who would follow him would suffer. So does God allow that suffering? And how do we deal with the suffering that we go through in our lives, whether it be loss of loved ones, whether it be loss of job, whether it be loss of income? How do we deal with the suffering that we go through in life? How do we balance ourselves through this suffering? Because everyone suffers. This is something that you cannot live without doing. At some point, at some time in your life, you're going to suffer. You're going to have to go through some things. And how you deal with that has a lot to do with who you are as a child of God. So I want to talk about that for a few minutes. And then, of course, the last thing is Halloween. Did you go trick-or-treating last night? Let's talk about it. I'm not talking about anybody or anything. Just tell me how you feel about that. Those are the subjects that I want to talk about tonight. I'm going to open the lines. Maybe there'll be those who would like to speak on one of those subjects, or maybe you may have want to speak on all of them, or you may have another subject that you would like to bring up for a discussion tonight. But those are the subjects that I wanted to bring up tonight because I think I need to hear what you think. And I need to know if you're thinking about it. That's another thing I need to know. If you're not, if none of these subjects have been on your mind, I need to find that out because something is wrong there. Because all of these subjects that I've spoken about today will eventually affect you. And if you're not talking about it, if you're not thinking about it, then you're going to be caught in the lurch. And things are going to happen, and you're going to be left completely out wondering what in the world happened because you did not follow the story as it came your way. So I'm going to open the lines tonight. Hopefully somebody will come in and give us some clarity on some of these things that we talked about. All right. Let's go to area code 919. Last four digits, 2534. Are you in line?
Good evening, Pastor.
Good evening. How are you?
All right. I was about to text you because you're echoing.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Is it better?
Yes, sir. That's fine. That's great.
Okay. I think what happened was I had a speaker on.
All right. Go right ahead.
Okay. Wow. You gave us seven things to think about tonight here, but let's go with our voting on this midterm election. I believe, like you said, this is a very important election because this determines on who governs us in our communities. But not just this election, but every election, we have had four fathers, four mothers, the people whose shoulders and backs that we stand on, they went through a whole lot so we could have this this opportunity to freely vote without, we can just, the only thing that happens to us is people run up to us trying to, get us to vote for, that person that's running, who they're lobbying for. That's the worst that happens to us. No dogs, no KKK, none of that happens to us now. So it is our right. It is our duty. I mean, and our due diligence that we vote every time. Even when I'm at the grocery store, they said, "Did we do a good job?" I vote. I check yes or no. Anytime we have a chance to vote, we should vote and not get into the mind state of I'm only voting for the presidential election. Because if so, once, like you said in the other topic for tonight, we're misinformed. If we don't vote, but for every four years, or hey, we have lost and missed a whole lot. And I mean, we're just bumps on the log. We're just going right along with the motion, and we're not even thinking for ourselves. If we do that, Yes, the school violence has been getting worse every year. Not only the school shootings, but like you said, at the sports arenas or the football fields, yeah, it's happening because the security is not is still not as tight as it should be to let people
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
You still have these people carrying beefs over from the school day or from the neighborhood, and that's that, you know, they don't care. That they just see each other and they want to continue their beef, their fighting. And but it all starts with security should be tighter getting into those sports doors. Because I've been to several high school games, and I have a pocket knife that my grandfather gave to me, and I tow everywhere. I got in the game with that. The alarm went off, and the man was like, "Go ahead on." I gave him my $6. He's like, "Go ahead on." You know,
wow.
So me as a grown person, I don't know. I didn't see him search any young person if it went off like that, you know. But but then once again, just like today, I had to go to Walmart. I didn't want to, Pastor, but Deaconess needed something from Walmart. They had a lack of staff. We had to go back outside to get our carts. You know, I mean, even on my job in a pharmaceutical, working for a pharmaceutical company, we have people who have never worked in pharmaceuticals before. You know, they're coming in from construction or McDonald's or something, and, you know, we kind of have to go with the flow to get things done is what's being forced down our throats, you know, in every capacity almost. So we have to be more diligent and everything that's going on. With Nancy Pelosi, her husband, and this guy broke into a well-to-do, gated kind of community. I'm like, wow. That is something else. But the news also was they showed the whole light because Mr. Paul Pelosi, he was just arrested for DUI earlier this year. It hasn't been a year, so they were trying to. The news that I saw, they were trying to play that bigger than the home invasion. So you know, you got two sides to every story. You got three sides actually. You got the truth. You got what this person said over here and what that person said over there. But I'm going to speak on one more thing, and I'm going to give someone else a chance to speak. The UNC racial equity hearing,
mm-hmm.
this is really blowing my mind because I have several family members who have graduated from UNC, and they got there with their blood, sweat, and tears. With good grades. I'm talking, these are people who put their heads in the books and, you know, then missed out on a lot of things and, you know, and graduated and has gone on to do great things in life. I don't know why all of a sudden this thing is broken back down to color. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You either have the grades to get in or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them had to have... They didn't get a free ride, but they had to have, you know, grants, or they had to have help. Their parents and family members had to help. I don't know where this thing has gotten away, wanting to be about color once again, but we have to stay vigilant and stay on top of it, stay woke. So thank you
okay.
for your time.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Deacon. All right. Area code 919. The last four digits, 2314. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on, Reverend Rogers.
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just listening really, though. But one thing I want to say was about I'm skipping right on into Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have mixed feelings on Halloween celebration. But I come to realize, too, that some even take advantage of Halloween's evangelistic opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for church, the activities that they have, I go along with that. It's a way of reaching out, evangelizing also, if they do it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Christian,
all right.
Right.
I was going to ask you, what is the right way?
Mm-hmm.
What is the right way?
Having the right way, I'm just saying the right way is like having activities and things that that's showing the kids. So that's mostly just showing the kids like positive
mm-hmm.
things.
Okay.
You know, it should
right.
be a positive thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Area code 609, last four digits, 9126. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor. Hello, everyone.
How are you tonight? How are you tonight?
Mm-hmm. I am good. Thank you. I'm going to, voting, number one. I already put my vote mm-hmm. in. Thankful for mm-hmm. early voting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very... I'm for voting because if I'm going to be a part of the solution, I'd rather be a part of the solution than a part of the problem, because it's important to me who is in, from the White House on down to the school system, who is in office. I have grandchildren in the school system, so it's important that we vote for better schools, better security, et cetera. So I'm all for voting. And I tell my family, my children have already voted. Early
mm-hmm.
voting is very important, and because you have that one last chance on November the 8th, and if you miss that chance, there's no other chance to vote in the primary.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Go right in.
Oh no, go ahead. You were gonna ask.
No, I was just
question.
Saying I agree with you 100%. Matter of fact, I've told a lot of my friends, if you don't vote, I don't want to hear you talk about politics. Really. You know, if you don't vote, don't talk about politics. I mean, if it doesn't matter to
exactly.
you to vote, then why you get upset when somebody does something wrong if you didn't vote? You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you.
We've let the devil in the White House once, so I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it. But
all right.
We can't do that again. So it just starts with the primary, and even if it's not a presidential election, let's put the people, the right people there, so that they can get some things passed.
Amen. All right.
And as for Halloween, I don't participate in Halloween. I did when my children were young,
mm-hmm.
but do participate in harvest, and I do give out candy bags.
Amen. All right.
But not the Halloween. Everything is about harvest.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. Good point. Mm-hmm. All right. Area code 919, last four digits, 7443. Are you on the line? 7443. Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on. And how are you all doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I wanted to talk on the football game or just shooting, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some parents go too far with children activities. It don't necessarily have to be a big football game. It could be a little scrimmaging games on the fields and stuff, and they get all upset.
Mm-hmm.
One child have one thing and one didn't do another thing, and a fight break out. And when a fight break out, you never know what nobody's packing. So anything
mm-hmm.
can escalate just from that. The children these days don't have opportunity to enjoy the sports or the things that they're in, because there's just too much violence that comes into play with most of the things that the children are doing. So they don't have a good time like we did when we were younger, when you fought, but you didn't shoot nobody, you didn't cut nobody, you didn't do all those kind of things, you know. anybody can take a beating and come back and be friends the next day. But so it's just outrageous. And the thing is, you never know who's packing, because these days young children are packing just as much as grown people is. So, you know, because we got all these gangs and all this kind of stuff in. So, you know, you got to be careful for what you do. Just last night, my oldest, well, one of my grandsons that lives with me wanted to go trick-or-treat. Oh, my goodness. And I'm not too crazy about that trick-or-treat thing. But I told him, I did let him go. And I told him, I said, now, I'm telling you this now. He was going with a group of friends. I said, you need to be careful. I said, because this night is not a good night for one thing. Bad people do have a reason or think they use a reason to do things on this night. And I say, and don't be a follower. Just because your friends are doing something and if you know it's wrong, don't get in there. You got to protect yourself at all costs, you know. And I was really surprised that he even asked. Because he normally don't really go anywhere. And I think what he's doing now is trying to make friends. It's trying to, you know, do his friends. But I told him he has to use his own mind and use his own common sense. You can't just follow the group, especially if the group is doing something they don't have any business doing. And yes, there is a lot of churches that do things that me personally, I don't think, if you're going to do Halloween, of course they change it to another name, Hallelujah Night or whatever, whatever. Then why do we have to stay on the 31st? Why do we have to stay on the 31st? Okay, you can have a Hallelujah Night any night.
Amen.
You can have it any night. So so why have to stay on the 31st?
Exactly. Good point. Dr. Dosha, let me ask you another question. How old is too old to go trick-or-treating?
The guy on Franklin Street is older than me. Next year, trick-or-treating. On Franklin Street, too old. They're older than me going trick-or-treating. All the people are going trick-or-treating for. Some people just want to be seen, you know, like, come on. Not paying all that money for them costumes, all that stuff. It's just ridiculous.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much, Dr. Dosha. Thank you so very much. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Deaconess Rainey, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, and you? I don't celebrate Halloween. I haven't celebrated Halloween since I don't know when, but I don't celebrate Halloween. Voting, I took my mom to vote today early, and I plan to vote before this week is out because we happen to be up in the area, and I saw the signs. Of course, she's in a different county, so she did vote today. And I think that's important for everyone to go out and vote. One vote can change, you know, the election. And let's see, what else did you have? About the elderly, about the man that got beat with the hammer.
Paul Pelosi,
That was a terrible situation. And it shows that, you know, people just don't respect elderly, nor do they respect children either, mostly. It's just a lot of that that's going, that was just bad. It was terrible there. That he broke in, and like you said, if he can break in, somebody can go into somebody's house easy, just break in and just go in and go to hollering through the house, you know. I don't know what if they had any kind of security or anything, but it just shows if they could do that to someone on that level, you know, they can do that. That can happen to anyone, really.
Anybody.
Anybody. And let's see. I'm trying to think of something else you had talked about. I think I'll just stop there and give somebody else time to say something.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. Aren't you tired of hearing those political commercials?
Oh, yes. And they're getting rougher and rougher, I believe. the one about Bo. I'm tired of hearing those. And it seems like they're getting a little bit more, you know, abusive or violent or whatever. They really don't care what they say in them now. they want to rhyme them up, and whatever rhymes with, they're going to throw it in there, you know, whatever the word is.
I was looking at a program the other night, and I think it was the news, and I guess I got 2 minutes of program for every 20 minutes of political ads. And it just got on my nerves so bad, I just cut the TV off. I couldn't take it no more. I mean, you know, when you got ad after ad.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about this probably next year, but do you know that some of these people are spending upwards to $40 million for these elections?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
They're giving TV networks
money for these commercials and various outlets for these. That's a lot of money. Can you imagine that kind of money being spent on just an election? I know I'm tired of them. Deacon Taylor, aren't you tired of these? Aren't you tired of these ads?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is the mudslinging gets worse every year. They start out real mild, and the closer to election time, well, they really open the gates. They find every piece of mud that they can throw. It's really sad. Mm-hmm, it is.
And a lot of that stuff is just lies.
And it's gone further than the television ads. They even hit your house phone and cell phone now, along with all the other robocalls.
Mm-hmm. Right. They do it. I get texts at least one or two a day. Who want support for these various organizations. At least two or three a day. I had folk knock on the door to want to know who I'm going to vote for and all that kind
of stuff. The flyers through the mail?
Yeah. Every day they come in through the mail. I got a trash can full of stuff that have been coming in the house, one candidate after another. I did early voting last week, so my voting concept is over. So I don't care how many ads they give me. I'm throwing it in the trash now because I'm through with that. Everybody in my house has voted.
Deacon Taylor myself voted, early voted also. But I do have one more thing to add, Pastor. I do celebrate Halloween, and I do celebrate Hallelujah Night. Let me tell you the reason why. We closed on our house 24 years ago on Halloween, so we go out and eat every Halloween. That's how we celebrate it.
Hey, man, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Yes. But ever since I think our child was in kindergarten, we let him trick or treat that 1 year, just, you know, kind of feel how, you know, to be with other little kids. But we, after that, we never let him trick or treat again. He probably did some of the trunk or treats or whatever at a church or something like that. But we never let him. We explained to him we don't celebrate that so-called holiday. And, you know, we went into a few reasons why. But we either bought him a bag of candy ourselves or let him go to a church with other children or maybe the school at trunk or treat. Mm-hmm. So that's how we do it.
That's a good reason to celebrate. That's a good reason to celebrate. That's a good one right there.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Doshi, I'm going to put you on the spot. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
In Romans 8:18, it says, "For I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in the true, in the end." I'm sorry, revealed in us. What does that mean?
I believe that is so true, because if we have faith and we already know where we're going when this is all over, we can't even imagine how great that is going to be. And this is what we're going through now. This is just a rehearsal run of things, because this is not our home. This is not our home. We're just visiting here. And that's what we're working, and that's what we're having faith and trust in God, that when our time comes, that we're going to be rewarded in heaven. And I'm striving every day to just get to that point, because all of us have suffered. I've lost a child, mother, my parents, 8 brothers, now a sister. I've had many, many losses, you know. Mm-hmm. But and you learn something from it. Because from your suffering, mm-hmm. you learn a little something from it. Might not be everything that you need to know. But he said that we was going to have trials and tribulation. So we need to trust and believe that things is going to get better. And we keep on keeping on.
Amen. Thank you so much. Does anybody else have anything you'd like to add?
And I, Pastor, this is Francis. I believe suffering brings us closer to God as well.
Mm-hmm. Those explain. Those
things that bring us closer to God. Well, I remember through my suffering, I started reading the Bible. You know, I got more interested in church. You know, I didn't want to have the pain of suffering on the inside alone, you know, and I couldn't share it with everybody. So it brought me to a place where I felt like I was comforted through scripture. I was comforted through the word in church, you know, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've learned to, no matter what I go through, I feel comforted because I can find a scripture in the Bible that gives me some comfort to get through it.
Amen. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to share?
Pastor Rogers.
All right. Go right ahead.
This is Deacon Taylor. In your closing prayer tonight, could we also lift up my father who was admitted to the hospital last night with pneumonia?
And his name?
Tim Taylor. He's a disciple of St. John's Disciple Church in Belhaven, North Carolina.
His name is Tim Taylor, too?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I got that right. All right. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for those who have been on this line. Father, we thank you for clarity, for the discussions that we've had tonight. For we know, God, there are very important things that are going on in this world. And we must be focused. We must have our energy and our minds and our hearts prepared so that we can do according to your will and to your way. We ask now, God, that you will touch us in a very special way. Make us receptive, God, to your word, that we will go into the Bible and read your word and find instructions for our lives. We thank you tonight, God, that you're already blessing Trustee Tim Taylor. We ask, God, that you will go into the hospital. Right now, sit by the side of the bed of that man. Touch him and let him know that everything is going to be all right. And let him know that the saints of God are praying for him. God, touch his wife right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
the whole
you,
family, in fact, in the name of Jesus. We ask, God, that you will go beyond the airwaves, that you will bless those who are in trouble tonight, those who are whose hearts are broken tonight, those who find no hope in their lives tonight. God, we pray for those who are going through suffering, going through pain, going through sickness. God, we know that you can cure any disease. You can fix any sickness. God, you know every hair that grows on our head. You know every drop of blood that runs through our veins. Father, if anybody can do it, you can do it. We put our trust in you tonight, knowing, God, that there's no other help we know other than Jesus Christ. So, God, we ask now that you will bless us and continue to give us the grace and the mercy that we need to live in this world. Father, we love you tonight, and we give you all the glory. Yeah. We give you all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
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 God bless y'all tonight.
Amen.
And y'all have a good night. We'll see you. Now, we won't have Bible study next Tuesday. It's vote night. We will not be having Bible study next Tuesday. I'm going to let everybody off that night. Make sure that we get our votes in. Next Tuesday, we will not have Bible study. We'll come back the following Tuesday with our regular scriptorial Bible study. God bless you. We'll talk to you
again.
Good night. Good night.
I've had trials and tribulations. Unexpected situations. Living here below. I've had friends to turn their backs on me and leave me standing here.
hurting the church. As I attempt to do God's work by people who call themselves saints. Many times I felt like giving up, but the Spirit said, Dottie, you can't. You know the Lord, He puts you through a lot of things you can't understand. And for everything He allows, there's a reason. So in my life, the devil gets no glory everywhere I go. How God has a way of turning things around. Yeah. He meant it for my good. God meant it for my good.
He did. God meant it. Yes, he did. He meant it.